What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey there, folks. Hopefully you're enjoying the holiday season. From Tom and I, we want to thank you for a great first season of Talkville. We got through it and we had fun. And I learned a lot of things. Things that I should have known 20 years ago when we did the show. Just a reminder that in between season one and two, we have a couple of bonus episodes. And they're badass. We're putting these out. This week, we have a little guest compilation for you. And then finally, at the top of the year, we're going back with season two. So be ready. Until then, enjoy yourselves, folks. Be safe. And always hold on to Smallville. Talkville is brought to you by AG1. Tom and I talk about this all the time. If you want to get healthy, if you want to feel better, if you want to have energy and focus, this is what we take and it helps us. And we talk about it all the time, but AG1, Talkville and AG1, they go hand in hand together. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. And that's why for a couple of years now, we've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in with water once a day, every day. And it helps us feel, it helps me feel alive, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, I just took a weekend vacation with my family and something was going on and I realized I hadn't brought my AG1. And when I got home, I literally drank one and I was like, oh, this is what I was missing. And that's the truth.
Well, really look, was. I mean, what people don't realize is, instead of taking all these vitamin pills every day, and I hate swallowing pills, AG1 helps cover my bases with high quality ingredients like pre and probiotics, which we all need, adaptogens, antioxidants, and whole food source nutrients. I know that if I drink it daily, I'm going to feel that extra boost. And that's what Tom was talking about. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why we've partnered with them so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/talkville.
That's drinkag1.com/talkville. Check it out. And the travel packs are worth it.
But I told you, I'm like, I can't watch it at night before I go to bed because there's going to be all these things that come back. So I watched it this afternoon and thank God, because I remember there's literally a scene. I mean, not to jump right into it, but Clark saves Lex and Jonathan comes in. Dude, I was like, I remember John Schneider being there early that day. Like, I remember there's so many things that come back having watched it, and it's terrifying.
It's funny. Like I have been rewatching because I've been listening to you guys and I've been visiting season one stuff, which is very surreal.
I feel like we've gotten to a point now in our lives where it's fun to talk about Smallville.
It is. I think for a while it was just like, okay, we just finished a lot. It was a long part of our lives, big part of our lives. And then you kind of just didn't talk about it that much. And now it's like, yeah,
that happened.
That was cool. It happened.
And let's revisit it. Let's look at it. I was watching one of the episodes. I sent you a picture of yourself from the TV this morning, which
I was in the car in the Porsche.
And I'm watching it. And now my 3-year-old son is looking at it and looking at how he's like kind of sees me, but he's not quite
younger.
Sure.
Dada.
Yeah. So it's now it's fun.
Do people really talk to you and say Rosenbaum really shits on the show?
I don't think it's that extreme, but I do appreciate the balance of, I think Tom always finds that, like, there's something in this, that's to be appreciated. And, but your brutal honesty is appreciated, Michael.
Listen, like, even in this episode I'm talking, I always find positives in each episode, but a lot of times when I'm watching, I watch as a fan. If something's good, I'm in. If something takes me out, I tell the audience, this is what took me out. I'm just trying to be, I think it's a good balance. You're right. Tom is much more positive. I'm more realistic. Ryan's more objective.
Here.
Ryan's here.
You need that though. Yeah, you need that, because if you have two people who are just, this is the best thing ever, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's not a very interesting conversation.
Well, you'll probably see me upset on this podcast. You saw me upset, I'm sure, on the show itself, yep. On Smallville.
Yep.
The show is great if Rosenbaum would stop shitting on it. I'm like, I don't shit on the show. I'm just an observer. And by the way, I haven't given it a bad grade, a bad rating yet. It's just that I have problems, which we can't just sit out here and go, yeah, that was perfect. That was great. That was great. Oh, my gosh. You were great, Tom. Hey, oh, my gosh.
You're shitting on the episode. You're shitting on it.
No, remember that one fan who wrote in and said, Rosenbaum, the podcast is great, but Rosenbaum keeps shitting on Smallville.
There's no security monitors. There's nothing going on. I'm shitting on it.
Twos and a 1.5 from
now
Ryan.
Now look who's shitting on it. This guy.
Ryan is shitting on it.
I really liked it.
My takeaway is, again, Clark's clothing, unscathed.
It bothered you. You're shitting on the show. What else jumped at you, Ryan? What do you remember? What's your biggest memory? What do you remember?
Certainly, what a goofball you were.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. So much fun to work around.
Do you remember the chaos that we remember of season one, reshoots and late nights and extra days and not getting stuff done and so everything sort of in turmoil? Did you feel that?
I think with everybody, they kind of wanted everybody there to just be ready on any given day, which isn't all that fair. But that's the chaos of the show. And the fact that, you know, it's a good thing you had restrictions, because like Tony Todd spent 3 months in the Sutton Hotel trying to finish one episode.
Yeah.
Oh, and they were very good about, you know, because I mean, when I had another job or something, or when I had to go see my dad, it's when my dad was getting very ill and I had to spend time with him. He was way across out in Maryland, so they would let me know when that was happening, when there was an Alzheimer's march, that they made sure that I didn't have to work that week. So they were very good with me, but it was frustrating sometimes. But then,
like, any day I was riding horses was a good day. Yeah. I loved doing all of that stuff. It was so much fun. It was so much. And working with the horses always made me laugh, because they always made a scene incredibly difficult. They'd always nudge us and it was always funny. And I loved that. I was so happy that I got to do that.
Here's one that I remember. I want to see the look on your face when I say this.
Oh,
be the horse.
Oh, yeah.
We did an episode where there was a horse.
Yeah.
And we all waited for the horse. We waited for the horse's trainer. Everyone was quiet when the horse came on set. And everyone worshiped the horse, because the horse could just run off at any moment. So I said, there's a lesson in what that horse is doing. You know, that horse is running this whole show.
Yeah.
And I think when I came back later in season 10, I saw that you, and this is a compliment, by the way, I saw that you had become the horse. Doesn't mean you're problematic. It means right. you are respected, you are listened to, and in many regards, you were revered because of your tremendous schedule. I mean, the schedule that you kept on that show was unbelievable. And I think we talked about that as well. Talked about how physically taxing this was going to be, because you were much older when you started Smallville than I was when I started Dukes.
And Schneider did that. He was like, look at me, son. You know, it was like a...
Was it also kind of like, I'm the alpha here?
Probably.
I think it was, yeah.
I'm the dad. I'm in control.
But not in a like...
condescending way.
Not in an actory, I'm more important than you. It's, I'm your father, and I'm demanding your attention right now because mm-hmm. I'm here to help you with your life. Mm-hmm. It was, you know what I mean? It was like, it wasn't like, hey, you know, I used to be on Dukes of Hazzard, so you should listen to me. It was never that.
Yeah.
It was never that. It was just, I'm here to help you. I'm your dad. And man, I mean, that's why he's such a big part of the show.
It's always my voice. I mean, obviously I look young and I'm really, really young, but my, you can tell I'm scared because my voice is so small. And really high. And I don't have a high voice. Like, it's just, it's not, it's just it's so little. Like, I just, and well, it, it's I, kind I, of.
I also remember you, you know, you were making efforts not to sound Canadian. And so there was a management there as well. Like, we just watched the episode and the scene with you and Whitney, you're right. It's a small almost like thoughtful way that you're talking, which somehow resonates as Lana being thoughtful, but it, a part of it is you, you know, trying to work on your O's, you know what I mean? Or,
and I didn't even have a strong accent, but I remember one day on set, Beeman just like made me run words in front of the whole crew. Just like, yeah, like say that, like, and it was, and I, and my accent isn't like Ontario accent. So, and my mom never had a Canadian accent. So it was never super, super thick, but I definitely, that's an interesting thing. I hadn't thought that maybe I was thinking about that at the time, but it's entirely possible until I got used to it, which would have taken a while.
Well, really, sorry, quiet. Greg, real quick, but I recall, I don't remember what the circumstances was, but there's one point where you had walked into one scene, like, I know this is so vague, and you were like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And you were like, this, this, this. And somebody said something, you were like, what did I just say? And it was, it wasn't rude. You've never been rude. It was nothing. But you're just like,
well,
what
I've
did
been,
I say?
I've been rude. I was more of a dick back then. I've worked on that a lot.
I remember I was telling Rosie just before you guys got on that I think Tony Todd set the record for days at the Sutton Place. Like, yeah. He came up for 5 days and he stayed for like 3 months or something.
Yes. Yeah. He made so much money.
Yeah.
He made more money on that than he did on Candyman, he told us.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'll tell you a quick story. I forget, it was like between, I don't know, season two or three or something, or three and four. And it was finally the time where it was like, oh, I'm going to do like the big vacation I've always dreamed. I was going to fly to Europe and everything. And I'm walking on the plane and this guy walks in with a Superman hat and a Smallville jacket. And I remember seeing him from behind and I'm like, oh, is this going to be weird for me? Like, I hope he doesn't sit next to me. Turns around, it's Al with his family. And I'm like, Al. And he's like, Tom, where are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to Rome. Apparently you are too. I'm like, what's this jacket in the hat? He goes, oh, I wear this all the time. Like, he's an actual, he's into it. Like, he it's in his soul.
The churn of you know, production designers and costume designers and all that stuff was just like, just finding the show and making it look like we want it to look. I mean, look at the costumes in episode. That's so, the purple shirt, it's just like, what is that? I mean, wow.
Right.
Like,
well, this was a great episode.
And it's Whitney's black leather jacket. It's the total demon thing. Oh, yeah. So bad. It's so embarrassing, but it is what it is, yeah. Right?
I kept hearing about it and I thought, wait, how come I've not been on?
You know what's funny is we talk about you every episode, Beeman. Did you butt heads a lot with Alan Miles or the studio? Did you have to like fight for things, or were they usually always on your side?
I always got the sense that you were sort of in rhythm with them, not arguing, but I always got the sense that you were in rhythm with them.
Well, so what I learned as a human with Miles and Al got me comfortable with confrontation, which I previously had never been comfortable with. Mostly I was in harmony with them and I mostly wanted to execute their vision. And, you know, if I could make their vision, you know, bigger and better. But we would periodically butt heads because they would not be happy a lot. You know, I'd get phone calls where they were looking at dailies and were just not happy with something that had happened. And I really wore all that. Like anytime they weren't happy, it made me miserable for days and days on end.
That was a lot of the Lex scenes, right?
A lot of the Lex scenes.
Yeah, we're looking at Rosenbaum's performance and what the fuck.
What was the biggest hurdle that you recall in that early season when you started as, you know, showrunner, when they made that call to you and they said, hey, Greg, we do want you we want you to be more of an integral part of this show. Like
Greg goes, let me know if you finished Jitters yet before I accept this job. Even you know, even you remember that.
I directed half of Jitters.
And, you know, but what's also great, Tom, is with all the superhero shows and the multiverse is popping up, that it's nice to revisit a show that started it all. I mean, we really did in a lot of ways start it all. Without us, I think, you know, I'm not tooting our own horn, but I am. It's like, you know, Smallville kind of started the, you know, The Flash, The Arrow, all those shows came after us, and they're all great shows, but it's nice to know that we were sort of the, what would you call it, Ryan? The
Madonna.
The Ghana?
The Madonna.
The gonorrhea?
No.
The Madonna?
I don't know why they came to mind.
You know, it's
the Madonna of CW superhero.
CW superhero, yeah. Yes.
Because exactly. After, you know, Arrow is basically like Lady Gaga.
Right.
This one is the Madonna.
Okay. I could, yeah, all right.
But then you get to an episode like, you know, like, well, like the pilot or Hourglass, right? And that has some really cool Superman iconography stuff, like Lex for President or Clark Living Forever. That kind of stuff is real cool to hear you guys' perspectives on as well.
Glenn was on Smallville and then went on to be the reason in the visual sense in many ways in the heart of multiple shows beyond Smallville. So
the DC
that's
universe,
why I always
yeah.
talk about you. Because everybody, we go to these conventions and everybody's like, do you feel responsible for Arrow and Flash? And I'm like, no, but I think Glenn should. That's what I always say. I'm pretty sure Glenn should.
But I'm seeing a resurgence in Smallville interest, at least with regard to my experience there. So I think it's fantastic. You know, it's a shining light. This is going to sound corny, but you know me, I'm a little corny. It's a shining light in all of certainly Warner Brothers television history. And I do believe that Smallville was responsible for starting this whole or authenticating this whole superhero craze.
Absolutely.
I think Smallville was the first, really, truly the first show that got it all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the beginning, right? Smallville's the beginning of a whole genre that's now commonplace. And I think that we were learning how to do it for the entire industry, if you want to know the truth. Like, yeah. We were learning how to make that show for the entire industry. So it was chaotic. Partly there's nothing you could do about that. If you're going to write gigantic fight scenes, you know, and gigantic and people throwing each other 35 feet and, you know, buildings falling down and barns exploding and all the stuff that we did routinely, in an era when no one's done that before, and you didn't, and you have to learn how to do it before you do it. Like, and you have to really figure out how we're going to do this thing that no one's ever done on TV. They've done it in movies, but no one's done it like on an 8 or 9 day shoot. There's a certain amount of chaos that goes into that. Why I think season one was really chaotic. It was just under budgeted. It's a classic problem that, you know,
it was incredible in terms of, it was a show that had to work for everybody. It had to work for the WB. It had to work for Warner Brothers. It had to work for DC Comics. And, you know, there was definitely a lot of pressure. And the first two seasons, we wrote every episode. You know, our names aren't on every episode, but we wrote every episode because, you know, you're trying to certainly figure out the show and what works and what doesn't. So I think in season one, you know, we probably broke 44 stories to get 22 episodes.
You were very much responsible for even just getting them to have someone pick me up. You got the cast together to sign a waiver.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Like that just seems like
driving all the way out to Aldergrove.
Yeah, I remember we did that. We wrote a letter. Remember, Schneider, you spearheaded the whole thing.
What's crazy is I remember it was the WB was always, what are the teenage things Clark can do with? What are the teenage things he gets involved with that aren't so he's goody two shoes? And what fun can he have with his superpowers?
It's wish fulfillment elements.
Yeah. So it's like, how do we get those in? And then my favorite though is like Lex shows up with fireworks, really.
That's been an ongoing theme. We're going, what is Lex doing at this party? It's a high school party. Hey, you just want to throw some fireworks. I talked to the cops. Everything's okay. Just lurking around.
I love that.
Your dad would drive you to work.
Yeah, because I don't know if you remember, but transport wasn't allowed to drive me. And I didn't have a car. So I would take the bus to work, and then I got a stalker, and then they wouldn't let me take the bus to work, but they wouldn't drive me.
You didn't want your stalker to give you a ride? He was always there outside.
Jeez, Tom, low. But wait, so you had a stalker in season one. I vaguely remember that.
Season one or season two. It was early on anyway. And then we got our security.
Did he ever show up to set?
I don't think so. No.
Thank God.
Other people showed up to set.
Did they send security to your house or?
No, we got security on set.
On set, yeah.
In part because of that.
Yeah, I remember them being like, oh, you know, this is a big cost to production. And I'm like, yeah, so is us like getting killed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll tell you one more funny story. And this was, so speaking of just over budget and things, so the show premieres. It's a huge hit out of the gate, like to the point where we didn't understand the numbers and somebody from the WB had to explain it. So everybody kind of backed off and we were able to frankly finish Jitters and do these things because in the words of Peter Roth, nothing's cheaper than a hit. So we go in and this is about the time we're doing, I think it was episode 13. It was Leech, which was another massive episode. I just cars and roofs and crazy. And we're with Peter and it was kind of like, it was a, we have to get the boys, we got to rein it in, right? So Peter sits there with the CFO and he goes, I am not giving you a blank check. This is not a blank check, but spend what you need to spend to make the show great. That is not a blank check. And the CFO's face was just like, holy.
This was a very valuable asset that Warner Brothers had and it was doing really, really well. And the folks in production, their job is to not spend as little, but be as frugal as they can be. And then they report back to the folks in California. So there was a disconnect there.
When you start breaking the stories, you want to make sure that Lex is an integral part of the show. What is his stories per every week? What are you going to do with that? And as Al said, it's like the contrast makes the Kent's story more resonate more fully. But I think the Kent relationship is great too. I mean, like John and Annette have incredible chemistry. And it's like, he is that like all American guy. He's just the opposite of Lionel. So it's just the perfect combination and contrast.
Because it is about family and you needed a family. I mean, there was Clark and I mean, the balance needed to be, where you were similar.
Yeah.
So if there were no grown-ups in your life, you needed grown-ups.
Isn't that amazing to think that Lionel Luther wasn't really supposed to be that big of a part in Smallville? Could you imagine, like Tom said, it would have sort of diminished my character, like his, you know, I think that like he needs that presence to see why he became the way he became. Sure. You know, you need to see that backstory. And if you weren't there, I think it'd be a different show.
Well, especially if Lex isn't pulling his own weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it gave you something to play against that you could, you know, I mean, who else would you spend the whole season with? Clark? You and Clark would have gotten married.
I think that
there's been people have pontificated on what if the Kents had found Lex after the
meteor shower.
Not the tornado. My gosh, yeah, the meteor shower. What if Lionel had raised Clark?
Oh man, it'd be
what
hell.
What if we had raised Lex? You know what? And we talked about that in one episode.
Glover was a guest star in season one.
So that was the one thing I wanted to bring up. Glover became such a big part of the series. And I know he was hired as a guest star. Can you speak a little bit about how you found him? How you then understood that we need this guy more because he's so integral.
Yeah, no, it's he was obviously there's, you know, the Lionel Luther. We thought it was just going to be like a guest star in the pilot, you know, and I remember Nutter tried to get William Macy to play it. You know what I mean? Like he reached out to William Macy to do it. And then than he did. And then, so we got Glove Room, and Maz and I were familiar with John from some of his other TV work. I don't think I realized what a huge, you know, Tony Award winning.
We knew him from Gremlins 2, the new batch.
Right.
Scrooged. Yeah. So it's just, but then he came in and he was just so good. And then again, it's the thing you sort of figure out. The show tells you what it is in a weird way. And obviously it was puberty with superpowers, but it was also a show about extreme parenting. So in order to have the Kent story resonate, you really needed the Luther story. And, you know, John, to his credit, you know, he would fly in on Sunday on Sunday. Usually he had a Sunday matinee if he was doing a show in New York. He'd fly Sunday, work Monday, because theaters are dark in New York on Monday, and he'd fly back Monday night or Tuesday morning so he could get to the theater Tuesday night. Like, I mean,
like, it's the chemistry between Michael and John. I mean, that's what really made it. Those scenes were just like magic.
Yeah.
It gave Lex a real purpose, and just that whole dynamic was just, you two just had the characters and the acting sparks that really like ignited the screen. So,
it wasn't planned.
I agree, when we rewatch it,
right?
Those are my, when Michael and John are on, that's, it's so electric. You can't look away from it. Like,
yeah,
you're right.
It was a joy. It was a joy.
They're very good.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of that's on John's part, to be honest.
Most of it, but that's all right.
But you didn't plan, like you're saying, you didn't plan for John to be anything more than a pilot episode where it's my father. You weren't, and then you saw the dynamic. Is that what happened? And you're like, wait a minute,
yeah. We got something. Well, you also want to see, when you start breaking the stories, you want to make sure that Lex is an integral part of the show. What is his stories per every week? What are you going to do with that? And as Al said, it's like the contrast makes the Kent's story resonate more fully.
When did they bring you on as a regular? Do you remember when that happened?
I was trying to remember, but I think by the time this season two started, I knew that I had that contract.
Ah, see? I think. So maybe I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that they sort of like made him a recurring and made you a regular. They did a little switch. They thought that your character was more of an integral part of the show.
At some point I had other jobs, so I couldn't come. And that's why they gave me the contract. But I remember Annette or somebody saying, they need you here in this. And that was to give you the balance of what Clark had.
Oh gosh, John Glover, he was so wonderful.
You definitely made me better. In the scenes, you always elevated my performance. Your performance elevated mine. It was almost like a little, I don't know. I don't know what it was. It was your energy, your focus, your choices, and it just...
Before, without Lionel Luther, Lex Luthor, there's no cap on his, on him.
And yeah, I gave him a cap because he didn't have any hair, so I had to give him a cap.
Oh my God.
Look at you.
You have hair.
And you're still working. Where's your hair?
Come on, it's still fucking there, man. Take your hat off, dude.
Oh, I got hair.
Yeah,
I got hair.
Yeah, it's sweet.
This episode is brought to you by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough reinvention. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you reinvent. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at pwc.com.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Well, we couldn't forget our lovable patrons. We never do. If we do, the show is done. Without you, as you know, we've said it a million times, Talkville is impossible without you. Go to patreon.com/talkville, become a patron, help keep Talkville going. I know you're having fun. The new season's coming. Bryce and Ryan and Jason, they're kicking ass. The shows are looking ridiculously cool. We have bonus episodes in the holidays so you can enjoy and sit back and relax. So much hard work goes into these things. So join if you want to. Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C, Janine R, Santiago M, Leah S, Little Lisa, Tom N, Sophie M, Betsy D, Liliana A, Abby P, Chris F, Kimberly E, Michael H, Ray H, Karen M, Danielle B, 99 More, Lalani N, Catherine P, Brett G, Super Sam.
Always hold on to Smallville, SFN G, GJ, Kento, Twitch, Garrett W, Kimberly L, Justin S, Tom N, Tony V, Rodolfo V, Jason W, Osama A, Lana W, Nancy D, Brian G, Sarah W, R2K, Justin T, and Lucy O.
Oh, Lucy O. What do you think of Lucy O?
Just great.
Grape Jelly 817. Jeremy G, Amanda R, Teddy 127, Michael P, Theo M, Ryan R, Grumpyitis, Jordan M, Hillary B, Let's Whisper, Craig G, Christy R, Pollyanna, Karen B, Derek G, Jarrell.
Hello?
Richard G, Richard S, oh, Dick S, Richard S. Heather and Greg, go ahead.
I really thought I had an audio problem there. Nico P, I made Talkville save butts. Brian H, Georgina B, Eric K, Kristen B, Takashi M, yes. Kevin E, Nanine W, Stephanie K, Darth Achilles, Richard R, Finky, Kenny S, Sydney S, Tito G, Remix, Stephen F. Damn, who's that?
Damn, who's that? Jeanette E, Deadvid, Allison H, General Zod, Amara, and Ev, Theodore, It's K, Crack, Kralk, or Clark spelled backwards, Drew M, thank you, Leah, for that, our Achilles, R, Araxelus, R, Arasalus, R, Arachillus, R, Big D, John Glover's Luscious Mane, Doug R, Tommy Z, Boston 68, Stone H, Isabel, Gabe V, Sager S, Tom, finish it off.
I'm so glad you didn't give up on that. Jake, Jack G, Corey L, Ivy and Sam, Brittany W, Kate F, Mr. Home Arcade, Cal T, Amanda K, Jesse C, Jason Lumberjack, Claire M, fourth favorite character, Zoe in the house.
Hi, Zoe.
Scott S, Freddie G in the building.
Dude, it was so funny at the con this last weekend. There was this girl came up to the table, she's real young, and I was singing some song. I go, you don't know that song because it was 20 years before you were born. And I said that probably throughout the 2 days, like every 5 hours I'd bump into her and I go, hey, how about this song? You wouldn't know it. And she was just like looking at me like, what the hell is going on? Thanks, poor, guys. Poor That's kid. It. The new season's coming of Talkville. Support us. Spread the word. We need your help. Subscribing means a lot. Go to talkvillepodcast.com. Get your awesome merch. I see tons of the patrons wearing the merch. It's the holiday season. Maybe, you know what we need? We need a shot of a t-shirt of Ryan. And Ryan's just like this. What would Ryan do? Ryan.
A t-shirt of Ryan and his girlfriend forcing him to watch it.
Maybe Ryan with his pupils as roses.
Just one and a half rows.
I bet one some people would buy that. I bet you'd sell probably 20, 30. If we get those and we make any money off them, we'll give you a chunk, Ryan.
I bet you sell 20. I bet you don't.
20 is good. All right, we love you. We'll see you later. And listen inside of you with Michael Rosenbaum, the podcast, please. I don't really promote that as much as I should, but hey. And we're gonna be in Vegas.
Oh yeah,
January. I think it's the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Vegas Creation with Supernatural guys. We're gonna be there. Come see the cast of Smallville. We'll be there. We're doing
Winchester's.
We're gonna do a Friday night. Smallville nights. By the way, I mean, should I go? I feel like I'm not going to do well. It's going to be all them, and then you'll take pictures with them because you were on that show.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't go.
Really? We'll see you later, guys.